Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
This is the big leagues, okay?
Yeah, step it up.
You're riding the pine.
There's little kids in Australia who want to play cricket, and they're listening to TJ and I talk about sports, say, God, one day I can be talked about on Riding the Pine with Kyle and TJ. The internet. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's worldwide.
Okay. Well, really, you have no idea.
With Kyle and TJ.
We're also incredibly modest.
Yeah, we are. We don't have egos, big heads. Listen, we're the best. And if there's anybody else out there trying to stake claim to that, you got to tell. We'll tell them they're wrong.
Sometimes when you're the fight you.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're the best, you're the best. And that's just the way it is.
We are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history. A professional wrestling.
TJ and I, we're grinding away. We're pros. To be honest with you, we pulled off the weeks before you. We'll pull off the weeks well after you're gone.
Who knows what'll take your life.
And we'll pull off the weeks, you know, in the middle when you decide to take random vacations.
Here on this rugged patch of earth called Plataea, Xerxes Horde's face obliteration! Just there, the barbarians huddle. Sheer terror gripping tight. Their hearts, with icing fingers, knowing full well what merciless horrors they suffered at the swords and spears of three...
Listen up, Rome. Your time's past, chump. Move it along. You were in the jungle. Cute. You know what that was clever? 96. It's 2012, guys.
We're showing them it's 2012.
Yeah, Rome.
Get out of here.
Let's get ready to...
Joining you from the far end of the bench, near the water cooler, in overtime, before extra innings. You get the point. Here's Kyle and TJ.
For us, what can you do for the team? You never heard of my knuckle puck?
I feel like we say this every time. I'm just that seasoning, man. You're the steak. I make the steak even better. I'm the seasoning on top.
It's knuckle puck time!
He winds up! He scores!
Yes, we are. It's Riding the Pine. 2 weeks in a row for the first time in about 6 weeks, it feels like. The whole gang back in studio. Somehow.
Season 2. Episode 2, Season 2.
Somehow less content than ever before.
Well, that's how it typically goes. You use all the good stuff in Season 1.
Yeah, I sitting around the table before we're recording, I look at them and say, hey, guys, any last-minute ideas, some content for us? And I receive two blank stares in return, and one going to go, I was sick. So content aplenty tonight, so we're going to kind of adjust this on the fly. We had an idea literally while the intro was playing right there that we're going to try a little later on in the podcast that should fulfill anybody's niche, well, not niche, but anybody's sports desire. We're going to cover a lot of range coming up later on, TJ.
It'll be interesting. We'll see how that goes.
We're gonna get X's and O's on.
We're gonna flex our muscles a little bit.
Yeah,
and we're gonna venture off into the side of sports we said we weren't gonna go to.
Yeah, and now maybe this is something that Nader Talk can actually respect a time limit. We'll find out later on where
Doubt
he
it.
To give a quick so you don't tune out before this happens. For a lot of weeks, we gave Nader top 5 good NHL seconds, which he failed miserably about 85% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So in lieu of having a ton of quality content tonight, TJ, the NBA expert.
Yeah, something like that.
Even though I'm the fantasy NBA champion in my 10-team league, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Nader top, the NHL expert, even though he is the opposite of fantasy expert. And myself, the... Well, everything else I like to say. I'm a big UFC fan and boxing. And there's a big boxing match coming up this weekend. We're each going to get 2 minutes to go X's and O's on you, breaking down the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, and the big Floyd Mayweather fight coming up this weekend.
You know, I'm just going to say right off the bat,
I didn't pay enough attention to the NBA this year to know know any X's and O's.
Okay.
So
this is already going to be miserable.
I'm not gonna make my time limit. In fact, that might even be better. I'm gonna be probably about 50% of my time limit. So
well, you know,
don't tune us out.
You don't have to go X's and O's. You know, you can just say, "Hey, I like an upset coming in Golden State series, whatever
well,
it may
I'll
be."
I'll do that. I will go storylines and
Predictions. Let's just go stream of consciousness, and then you read off a list of people who have purportedly slept with Carmelo Anthony's wife.
Well, that's going to take more than 2 minutes. I'm going to have to use that whole 12-hour ticking clock sound.
Yeah. Isn't that, and doesn't LeBron James' mom get around a lot,
too?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. If you want to get going right now, TJ, I'll handle the content, because Lord knows NaderTot won't help. If you want to get going on the list of LeBron James' mom's partners and Carmelo Anthony's wife's partners, you could give us a full 2 minute rundown of those that are athletes.
Right now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whenever you get free time.
Delonte West.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Lions' recent draft pick, Ziggy Ansah.
Of course. Of course.
Rajon Rondo.
Uh huh.
He's a little bummed out because he's injured and missing the playoffs.
Carson Daly is in there.
Actually, I heard Russell Westbrook and Rajon Rondo did an Eiffel Tower on LeBron's mom. So.
Yeah, hey, whatever you're into, no judgment.
This is Ride in the Pine TMZ.
Yeah,
so.
It is. We're gonna get you the gossip. So we'll get to that later on in the podcast. We do have a few stories for you. I believe just a quick update on the fantasy baseball situation. My furious comeback has been mounted. Last week won my first game of the season. I believe it was 8-5.
Good. Good.
So I am now only, I think, 19 games under 500.
It's not great.
Sitting in 8th place instead of 9th. This is the NaderTot charge. You know, fantasy hockey, NaderTot had to mount a charge from being miserable his first few weeks and still ended up 1 point short of the playoffs.
Yeah, do 4 teams make the playoffs in this league?
I don't know. Knowing the crazy settings, it's probably 2.
Well, in that case, I'm in because I'm currently sitting at 2nd place.
Wow.
A whopping, like, 33. I don't know. I lose track of all the wins, so.
Oh, that happens. That's easy to
do. Wait. You mean Yahoo actually has a formula for deciding who makes the playoffs and who doesn't?
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's called winning percentage. You should have tried it.
He's little lost.
Little bent.
Actually, it's a little weird that he's bringing that up because Yahoo uses, actually, NHL scoring for the NHL fantasy hockey standings, so I don't understand where the confusion comes in for you unless you really don't understand how the world works or your favorite sport.
It's all right. Hey, it was 1 point short, and just think, that goalie trade worked out in the end.
It did, because now he's injured.
So all's well that ends well, Nate. Good work. But hey, on the bright side, you didn't join baseball. So you don't have to worry about that heartbreak.
Yeah, you don't have to be last place in another sport.
You can leave that to me.
If I was in baseball, I would be in last place because if I don't know your name, I don't know if you're good or not. So
that's rough. That was like me with hockey, and I still took that to a semifinals appearance.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show, you know, there's some tricks of the trade.
Well, you see, baseball.
Someday, young Padawan.
Baseball has all these numbers, and they make up new stats every year, and so you constantly have to
make up new stats?
Yeah, like war.
Well, we're going to add a fifth base. It's going to be out left. Like, if you can touch that, it's an extra point.
Well, like war. No one talked about war when my grandpa liked baseball back in the day, and now it's like a huge stat.
It's not a new stat. Those numbers have always existed, though.
It's a new way of calculating a stat.
Okay, that's fair, but you can't call the statistic itself new just because...
Shut your mouth. Yes, I can.
The numbers...
Shut your mouth.
The numbers have
always sounding
existed.
Stupid right now. You're sounding stupid.
You're right,
now.
Nate. I apologize. I am the one
you
sounding
sound stupid.
Stupid
right now.
You got me. I am the one sounding stupid.
NaderTot sounds like that scout in Moneyball.
Yeah.
Who's like, I don't know, this guy, he looks like a baseball player to me.
Look at him. He's got that slick back hairdo.
I'm not going to quit, Billy. Now what? Now you are. No.
Oh,
take that
boy.
Back.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to fire you. Pushes Billy Bean. Now I am. Because he pushes, and then he gets that crazy kid playing Xbox to be the lead scout.
Yeah, totally. Skinny Jonah Hill.
A lot of content to get to today.
Screeching Hulk.
Wrong, Fat Jonah Hill.
Hang on,
we got a lot of stories getting into and a new segment, everyone.
Hey, guys,
stay up there.
There's a kid on the train tracks. Let's see how quick it can stop the train.
Guys, we need to stop this train. There's a nefarious man tying a woman to the tracks with a top hat and a handlebar mustache going,
Is there a Looney Tune that can save her? Oh, that was a 14 car Amtrak that just screeched in the middle of a road. Just oof, blocking traffic with that one.
This train's unstoppable. Kind of like that movie with Chris Pine and Denzel Washington.
Wow! Movie reference, Nate. Just bring them home tonight.
Hey, guys. Since we're talking about trains, I just wanted to bring up a good one. Throw Mama from the Train.
Or Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, you guys remember that one, too?
It's George Clooney, yeah.
I just hope that during every little segment we do here this week that you chime in with a movie reference.
And speaking of mamas, Mamma Mia was one of my favorite musicals of all time, guys.
You guys.
Challenge accepted.
You know what's really underrated? Big Mama's House. Like,
that's... You want to know what's even more underrated? Big Mama's House 3.
Oh, so you get to look forward to that as you listen along and realize Nader Tot's not listening whatsoever, but instead formulating movie ideas in his head. So that's a win for everybody. The first story we got on the docket tonight is, you know, I wrote this down as a feel-good story turns into a lost season. Because, you know, you like to... I guess once you read the article, it's not as feel-good as you thought it was. But in high school sports in states that like California, Ohio, Florida, wherever it may be, there are some schools and coaches that just... It's absurd, you know, where jurisdictional lines and moving your home, you know, addresses with no houses just so you can be declared in this district.
I know all about that because of the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, yeah. And you probably went through that in your high school days, right, when you were being recruited heavily by D1 schools?
Oh, all the time. And, you know, like we couldn't get into the private schools because I was a little darker than the other kids.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know.
A little dark. You had a tan,
yeah.
So they withheld you.
Well, Kyle, we both know this from our favorite television program, Friday Night Lights.
Course,
Buddy Garrity, The Mailbox, Cafferty. Come on now.
Empty mailbox.
Come on.
Empty mailbox.
Mrs. Taylor, I'll do all my homework. I'll make all A's. Just keep me on this team. This is my life. Sorry, Luke. You're going to East.
It happens. You know, it exists. And this is a story of, I guess, he said, she said, basketball coach, a high school basketball coach in California, decided to move a kid across and living with him. And so he was declared, you can't compete. Okay, happens all the time. Well, this coach went through the entire season respecting this decision. Okay, and he said, okay, whatever, maybe back next year. Who knows how it'll play out. But this coach, Sharif Matoyer, now, the
Long Beach Poly?
Long Beach Poly, that's what it is.
Is this AAU? Or is this a high school?
So. I thought it was high school.
Okay, this is high school, yep.
Yeah. Well, Matoyer decided with 1 minute 12 seconds left in the season that it was time to make a statement about this injustice.
This is a big F the police, stick it to the man move.
It turns out as F the police, and it ends up with Matoyer in figurative handcuffs and getting arrested anyway.
Yes, that's true. He is still going to serve his time.
Yes. So Sharif Matoyer decides with 1 minute 12 seconds to say, you know what, not going to stand for this anymore. And he decided to insert Cameron Chapman in the playoff semifinal. Now, I don't know if they were losing, so maybe it didn't matter anyway. I don't know the score at the time. But he decided to put him in with 1:12, and in interviews after the game said, oh, yeah, I knew. No big deal. I knew what I was doing. Take that one. Eat it. You know? Go choke on one.
Here's my D. Suck
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That's essentially what he did. And, you know, now most of the time what I hear in these cases is they'll vacate the win. Obviously, you know, maybe some wins from the season will be thrown out, whatever. Now, in this case, the committee or the school, they decided it wasn't the kid's fault. He was just doing what the coach told him. So they suspended the head coach for 1 full calendar year.
Oh, my goodness.
Quite a punishment.
Dude, wow. Way to take everything so seriously, California.
Yeah, no kidding. But I don't know who I side with, because this guy made a declarative F the police. And the police said, no, sir.
No, F you.
F you, sir. And he is out of work for a full calendar year. Now, it says, we admire Sharif. He's a great person, a great coach, and a great role model. He had a moment, and coaches have to set a higher standards. He's taking complete responsibility for his actions. Mm. Oh, boy. So, now, the school actually did this.
which, the school imposed
the
penalty?
Yeah, and it says the school did this essentially as a trying to beat the whatever the interscholastic foundation kind of, to the punch.
Like how when colleges that are in deep ass. Yeah.
Yeah. They like Ohio State when they said, oh, we won't eat out for a week.
One year bowl ban, and also the kids have to live in the regular dorms for a semester.
Yeah. You can't do anything else with NCAA.
Well, this is the new hip thing now, is sanction yourself to make it look like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, look at NCAA. Look at all the hardship we're going through. Oh, but really, we don't mm-hmm. give a S about anything, and we just don't want you to do something serious to us.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's like you're going outside, and you're picking your switch, and you're hitting yourself a few times to be like, oh, see, look, I'm hurt. Don't do anything more.
It is, but you know what?
What? That didn't seem painful.
No, that sounded hot. You okay over there?
How you doing?
Let's back up a little bit. I can feel your boner.
I can feel the heat radiating from your body right now. And it's not that hot in here.
Well, I was going to say, anyway, the thing is that these self-sanctions actually usually do work because the NCAA almost never comes down as hard as they should on all of the programs that... Yeah, it is. Like USC, we're going to take a few scholarships from you. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Ohio State, one-year bowl band. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, you'd think that something, especially in the case of USC, where they had the O.J. Mayo issue, but then just a year before, they had the Reggie Bush issue.
Yeah.
I mean,
repeat
doesn't
offenders.
1 + 1 = 2, which should mean a bigger penalty?
And the joke about the scholarships is they take the total scholarships away from the athletic department.
Yeah.
So
they just cut them from volleyball.
What you're doing is you're cutting them from your non-money-making sports like volleyball or soccer, where they don't even get full rides to start with. They take that full scholarship, they break it up in four parts, and they hand them to the four players to say, here's the help with soccer. You have to pay the rest. All the football teams and basketball teams still get the same amount. It's garbage.
Yeah, a lot of these NCAA gestures feel like hollow gestures. Like you look at the Penn State, now you see $60 million, and you're like, whoa. But then you realize, oh, yeah, it's an NCAA Division I football program with a 109,000-seat stadium. That money will be made in 6 months.
Oh, yeah, it costs students $35,000 a year to go there. Huh.
It really is empty. The NCAA is one of the more worth up there in my mind with the United Nations, one of the more worthless organizations in the world.
That's Nader Tot saying here.
That was a trip to the Freedom Bunker with Nader Tot.
Yeah, you wanna get down to the Freedom Bunker, we'll take you.
Whoa. That's our next podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the next one. This one's just sports. We're taking politics next.
We actually sit here for 6 hours in one night. We record four different podcasts. One's sports, one's politics, one's comedy.
We just haven't released those ones yet because the internet's not ready for all this awesomeness.
Oh, my God. I mean, you don't want the internet to blow their wad early, do you?
Nader Tot, I was trying to give you a good cross promotion, and then you just pulled back the curtain. Now they've seen the Wizards of Oz.
It doesn't matter, because of how strong we are right now, no one can bring us down.
I wonder if anybody would listen to a politic podcast from us.
I think the politic one would actually have to be serious.
Well, no kidding. We're not going to sit here and just make cracks about the wars. How about that Afghani army? Waka waka!
Stephen Colbert!
That would be a...
Get some female callers in here. Yeah, why don't you go have another abortion?
Hey, are you in the kitchen? Next caller.
Well, maybe we should open this up to our Facebook fans.
Okay.
Facebook us, and if you'd be interested in hearing a politically charged podcast, let us know. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll start working on it. Maybe we won't. Who knows?
Yeah. That would be something.
It would be interesting. I would be for it.
I don't think it would be as riveting as this, simply because I believe the three of us,
for the most part, we all agree too much.
But, you know... It could still be fun to play a little devil's advocate and just shout at things.
Just make fun of the stupidity.
I'm wrapping this microphone in duct tape.
Oh boy!
To be like Rush Limbaugh.
I think it would be kind of fun to do a satire political podcast.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
Like what you said. Hey woman, if you're not in the kitchen, then stop talking to me, okay?
We're gonna take some calls today.
Sweet cheeks.
Next segment, only callers. Women at home cooking. line them up. Fill the phone lines for us. Caller one, you're on the line. Yeah, what? I'm making a sandwich. Good for you. Next caller.
Hey, what's for dinner, sweet cheeks? You're supporting this country. I love it. Keep it up.
Next segment, anybody not taking welfare, call in.
Anybody on welfare, call in so we can make fun of you.
Yeah, then we'll hang up on you. Do it. Next segment. I think it has potential. It's about 60 minutes of us yelling at mythical callers because we don't do this live.
Nice food stamp collection, you poverty.
Or we just call in as fake callers because now we have the telephone back now.
Yeah, we do. Well, there's a telephone in here.
Okay.
Lord knows if it's hooked up to anything. There's probably just a cord leading to like a microphone somewhere.
Maybe we'll each take a turn calling in as a fake caller.
Yeah.
And then we'll just give each other lobs like they do on the actual political talk shows, you know, and not even get to the hard truths.
Yeah, that's something. That is, that's an option.
I don't want there to be any hard truths in our political podcast.
No, because then we're just going to make people angry, and then they stop listening to this one. And ugh.
People are angry because they don't understand the idea that we're not going to change your opinion. Yeah. You're just listening to it to listen to what we believe.
Yeah, before the internet, before we came along, the internet was miserable.
Ugh. Yeah, we really set it on the straight and narrow.
Thin skinned ninnies.
Speaking of ninnies.
Yeah,
wait, what?
You know, I mentioned the last story as a possible feel-good story, but it kind of turned into an F the Police story, as TJ so eloquently put it. Well, this is a legitimate feel-good story here, guys. You know, I think was it a month ago now we played that 7 or 6 year old kid named Jack
who
football let him run for a touchdown. Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
I think that was about a month ago that happened. Pretty good moment to listen to.
And just
watch.
A day ago, that SportsCenter is still running that story.
Are they really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, you know, milk the cow till it's dry, right?
Slow news cycle in the sports calendar.
Yeah, yeah. No other outside of one major story. Oh, boy, I just remembered this, too. We're going to have to get to this later on.
Okay.
I have to pull up some audio to talk about it properly.
Okay.
So do not let me forget. Well, this story right here, the Portland Timbers. Now, you are forgiven if you don't know who they are, because I didn't either.
No.
They're a soccer team. They're a soccer team. Why do you know them?
Yes.
Because this is like one of the weirdest soccer teams ever. When they win, they have a big log on the sideline, and they get these lumberjacks to cut off a plank of wood, and it represents their victory.
That's badass.
That is something.
Well, it's... I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Well, I mean,
adding a little manliness to it.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't call it interesting.
It's an innately effeminate sport. That just adding some mustache hairs to it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay.
Something like
the,
that.
The Portland Timbers. They're a team. How about that? Can we all agree on
they're
that?
They're a team and they play soccer.
Are they in the MLS?
Yes.
They're in the Major League of Soccer.
Cool. As far as I knew, every soccer team in America is in the MLS.
Decathlon. MLS team, WNBA team. Two questions. Who wins? Who watches?
Let's do a roundtable. Name a team from either MLS or WNBA.
Oh, wait.
No, you don't get to go first.
Let's make this better. Let's play like Waterfall, and we keep going around until someone misses.
Okay. We can do that. Let's do
now. I thought that was insinuated.
Okay.
You just meant one.
No.
Okay.
You want me to go first?
You go right ahead. WNBA team or MLS team?
My personal favorite MLS team.
Okay.
The Chicago Fire because...
Of course.
Obviously.
Why not? Why not?
The Columbus Crew.
The Tulsa Shock.
See, as far as I know, you made that up, Nader Todd. I only know that because they used to be in Detroit.
Yeah, they Baltimore Colt in Detroit. But there was nobody there protesting. U-Haul showed up.
The Tulsa Shock are the Seattle Supersonics of the WNBA.
Yeah, the Tulsa Shock, they were in Detroit one day. A U-Haul showed up, and then 8 jerseys got thrown in because that's all there is. I don't know if you ever watched a WNBA game, but they actually switched jerseys on the bench because that's the budget now. And they just threw all their stuff in. That's 3 basketballs, 8 jerseys, and a washer. And they booked it down to Tulsa, and that's where they play now.
Fair enough. That's all they deserve. The Los Angeles Sparks.
The Seattle Storm.
The Los Angeles Galaxy.
Ooh. San Antonio. Stars?
See, it's hard to fact check when we don't have anything open. This is what happens when you do this game on the fly.
I'm going to say no on that, but that sounds about right.
I will say no, but that team name does sound miserable.
Is that the D-League name?
To work.
I don't know.
WNBA does not have a D-League.
No, I meant there's a D-League San Antonio team, I think.
Well, that's not what we're
talking. I don't know. Whatever.
Just WNBA or MLS.
New England Revolution.
Oh, you dirty, dirty.
You're an animal. You know so many soccer teams. Anyway, the Portland Timbers.
No, Kyle's still going, and I'm still going.
You're just sad that you lost.
The internet's sad because we're doing.
Boy, I feel like I have one more in the tank, but it is not coming out. Did somebody say the Seattle WNBA team?
Yes.
Well, that's all I got. I'm out.
The New York Red Bull.
Yes! Oh, you're a filthy pig.
I won!
Go take your time
out. And I
won
all on soccer and one WNBA team.
You go time out right now.
Yeah, that is not something to be proud of. Get out of here, you animal.
I am ashamed in you. I'm not surprised.
We're not even.
I stole your Seattle team, BT Dubs.
Wow, and now Seattle. I'm just embarrassed that you would even say BT Dubs.
Yeah, this is going downhill fast.
Wow.
Well, needless to say, the Portland Timbers did something nice recently, and this is in the same vein as that six-year-old or young kid who ran for a touchdown in the Nebraska spring football game. A very nice moment to be able to watch. This is also a nice moment to be able to watch until you remember it's soccer, and then you don't care.
But it's soccer on a smaller scale
because
they're children. They cannot run over.
Yeah. Well, 8-year-old Atticus Lane Dupree, diagnosed with cancer. Back in 2011, which is it looks like he's got a full head of hair. Wonder if he's in remission, if he's healthy. No, here's the question.
He's scamming the system.
If you're healthy, do they pull your Make-A-Wish? No. Like, if you lose cancer, you just kick cancer to the curb, you get a letter in the mail the next day. Sorry, you are not going to Disney World.
You're not sick enough.
We heard you're not going to die. Congrats, you're not going to Disney World.
Hey, you know what that means? Your parents have tons of money to take you on vacation now.
Yeah, I'm sure those chemo bills won't be in the mail for another month. They'll take you to Disney World. Well, this eight-year-old decided to his Make-A-Wish, who knows why, was he wanted to play a soccer match against his favorite team, the Portland Timbers.
This is a disgraceful State of the Union right here.
There's a kid who has a favorite team named the Portland Timbers.
There's a kid in the United States whose favorite team is a soccer team.
That's bad news.
That's bad parenting. He needs to be taken from these parents.
I was going to say something very mean. I'm not going to in respect to, I don't know if you guys read our Twitter in the past week. We got called shock jocks.
Did we?
By one of our listeners. I don't even know. I believe it was when TJ and I think it was 2 weeks ago. I don't believe you were here, Nader Tut. TJ and I broke when we were stunned watching. Oh, no, you were here when we were watching the that hockey fight. Or was that just you and I, TJ?
No, I was here.
He was here.
And we saw the black guy.
Yeah.
Shock jocks.
We got called shock jocks for our reaction.
Well, it was shocking.
It was shocking! That's what I said!
What are you going to do?
Yeah!
Welcome to our podcast! Yeah!
Yeah. Yeah, here's a music bed.
Let's talk about sports.
Yeah, so we're shock jacks now, guys. So maybe I should just let loose insults.
That's what I was gonna do.
Well, okay. So this 8-year-old. This is they'll recap kind of his wish right here in this moving video that the Portland, who knows, media director threw together. Nader Todd, here's a job aspiration for you. MLS
media director.
Or whatever.
There's actually a lot of video jobs for soccer.
Your first,
but you have to be fluent in Spanish.
Ooh, yeesh.
And
no,
that's I am not that.
Your first order of business is hire TJ and I as commentators.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Done. Mm-hmm.
Looks like one guy kicked the ball to the next guy. TJ.
Actually,
TJ's getting water. I'll handle it.
Actually, that was one of my favorite things to do because I had douche friends in college who would play FIFA. And what I would do is drink while they played the stupid soccer game.
Of course,
and then commentate their soccer game.
Nice.
And try to be as much of an a-hole as possible and make fun of the sport.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, the Portland Timbers, their awesome logo. Looks like they pulled up word art and pulled a clip art of a...
It's not very intricate.
Of an axe.
Yeah.
Painted it green. Splashed on the jersey. Portland Timbers logo. Now notice the sad music. They're acting like the kid's already dead.
Excited for the game?
Yeah.
So are we. Better get your guys ready, all right?
So they're giving them a big tour of the backstage. It looks to be a parking lot. Maybe one guy just got out of his 98 Accord, had to put his cigarette out quick.
More excited for this game than my next doctor's appointment.
Oh, no.
All these guys just got back from their host families, you know.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, they're excited for the game.
Those appear to be pallet jacks in the corner.
Yeah, this guy, this is also where he works at his first job. This where he stacks pallets.
Okay, let's just stop it right now. I already see the most stupidest thing in sports, the scarf. What is up with soccer teams and their scarves?
Well, it's just like, why do soccer players trade their shirts? Like, you just played in the game. Why do you need a memento? It's called a video. It's there. It's everywhere.
I'm more concerned with the scarves. I don't understand, though. And people, like, live and die by them. Like, if you do anything to them, you're disrespecting your team.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. Your club. I don't want to disrespect your knit.
Yeah.
Your knit. You can't call it a jersey. It's a knit.
So to feel you and Atticus Lane and his team, his 8-year-old team, the Green Machine, challenged the Portland Timbers to a soccer game. Now, if I'm a member of the Portland Timbers, no holds barred.
No,
I let
not.
Loose on these kids,
and in a way, they kind of do.
I'm throwing, yeah. We
we'll get to that.
Yeah, I'm throwing slide tackle. I'm doing everything out there.
Atticus,
yep.
How are you, Coach Porter? Nice to meet you.
Yeah, we could not be more patronizing.
Yeah, seriously,
oh, Atticus,
how old do you think?
Oh,
yeah, I'm not a dog douche.
Yeah, he's also not a toddler. Stop. Actually, like, he's 8. Like. He can function on a human level.
Yeah, I'm not going to drink out of your hand.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to, you know, show him a whiteboard and draw up plays, but I'm also not asking you to treat him like a dog. That's
fair.
Thanks for spending the day with us here at Portland Timbers. Can't wait. You know, I'm going to coach your team.
Yeah.
We're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I'm going to root against the Timbers.
Cute. Okay, a lot of video. You got his honorary locker. Cool, he's putting on his jersey, neato. His team,
awesome.
Still wearing the stupid scarf. Yeah, neato. Okay, yeah. Now here's sweet. Where I am. I'm honestly stunned by this. They run out. Okay, it's the Green Machine versus the Portland Timbers. To 3,000 people in the stands.
We discussed this earlier. That's the most fans that have ever been in that stadium ever.
No question. The weight load, it's never been tested that high.
No.
Because they never needed to.
No, because usually they play their games in front of like 2 high school-sized bleachers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
they
8
push,
rows.
They push 2 together that they got on like a clearance auction.
Yeah, their bleachers are small enough that they actually have wheels on them that they can wheel around.
Yeah, well, they need to get them out of the way for when like a real pro team comes in and they attract fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still, quite, I mean, an amazing turnout, honestly.
You know, and I got to say, if I'm Atticus's teammates here, I'm feeling a little down about myself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think any
because
of those other teammates would get 3,000 people?
Because, yeah, it's kind of cool. I get to do this with Atticus, but he's kind of the focus, and I have to pass the ball to him so he can score a million goals.
Yeah,
he'll never.
Can you imagine if one kid on this team just turns into a ball hog and just dribbles around everybody for 4 minutes?
Do you think these are his real friends
and
his real team, or do you think they just are like, hey, kids of Portland, do you want to come play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they probably...
Like he doesn't know anyone in here.
A group of 8-year-old ringers? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, he doesn't know anyone on this team, and they're just saying that's his team.
Hey, Jimmy, go scout the playgrounds. We need some 8-year-olds to play soccer.
Hey, kids... You want some cookies and some orange peels? Yeah, come play some soccer.
Jimmy got kicked out of a lot of schools for that question. So now the Timbers come out, walking out next to their team. Timbers realizing, never seen this many people in my life in this place. Looks like they got one of the teachers from the elementary to sing the anthem. That sounds terrible.
Picked a person out of the stands.
We didn't really plan for this.
Yikes. We thought of everything except this.
We got 2 options. Either hook up YouTube quick or someone run down the stands. So we pick up game action. Timbers scoring. Green Machine scoring. Green Machine up 3-1. And the Timbers get sick of it. Now, obviously, these kids are not, they're not playing on a regular size field. It looks like they took a chunk of sod about 8 feet by 10 feet, threw it off to the side and said, go play here.
I think this is the missing section of that field in Norway that we discussed last week.
Hey, at least it got put to good use.
Yeah. Right? It's still a soccer field somewhere.
Yeah, so there you go, Norway. It's still being put to
use. Mystery solved. You're welcome.
Still being used in some manner.
Oh, no.
Heartache from the Timbers as another goal is scored. Flags waving. Quite a, I mean, the turnout is really amazing to me.
Did they have to pay all these people to come to this game?
Oh, I would bet.
Gosh.
Seat fillers.
Like extras in a movie.
So anyway, it goes on and on. Scores tied 8-8 here at the end of the game, which, I mean, you don't have, I know you're doing this thing as like a charity thing, but do you need to run up the score like this? Like, you couldn't even keep it a soccer score?
These
like,
kids,
hey, 3-3 late in the game, or 0-0.
3-3 is way too much.
Yeah.
More like, you know, -5 to -5.
0-0 with a red card.
These kids are like, all our other games against other 8-year-olds are 3-1.
Yeah, you guys
we scored 8 on the Timbers. None of these kids' favorite team after this game is the Timbers.
No, good God, they suck.
They're really
terrible. All right, so we're Galaxy fans now.
Yeah.
These kids are, I think, at that perfect age where they have to realize that the Timbers are just, you know, just letting them win.
Yeah, you're 8, so you're out of that real soft. You, obviously, you're still young and a
maybe
kid.
I mean, the nostalgia would be there if it was like 2-1. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're actually playing hard. But 8-8, I'd just be like, who's not playing defense? Someone's not playing defense.
So it's 8-8. Now, one thing to watch in this clip here is the slide tackle by a Timber. Okay, that's how I slide in slow pitch softball, guys. Okay,
that's how I slide. When I am actually stretching, not sliding.
Yeah, yeah, dude just fell down. His knee hit the grass. Like, even at 8, I'd be like, really? Really? You couldn't even play that one up?
Nice attempt, jerk off.
Yeah, well, they let Atticus go by.
Can you imagine if all these kids started talking trash to the Timbers?
Yeah.
They're just like...
Atticus. Now, this is what...
Suck it, Timbers!
Now, watch this. This is what's funny, okay? So they let Atticus score the game-winning goal. Now, normally, you see this a lot... Kids will run, their teammates will hug him, he'll be in the middle of the circle, maybe he pumps his fist, you freeze frame it, end of a movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not Jack Dupree, or Atticus Dupree. No wonder, no wonder they had to go round up a group of 8-year-old ringers. Look at the way he acts after he scores the game winner. So he scores
eventually.
The goal. He scores the goal. Now watch what he does. He runs away from every one of his teammates. He won't be touched. Look
he
at him.
He actually is.
He finally gets caught. But he wants nothing to do with it.
They're trying to swarm him. He's like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's like a game-winning hit, you know, in a baseball game. The team mobs you at home plate. It's a cool moment. No, Dupree wants it all to his cancer-stricken self.
Oh, my God.
Okay? Can't share the limelight for one soccer goal with his team. Old Dupree needs the spotlight on him.
I was on board when I was saying him, and then you said it, and it hurt.
That's how it feels when you're a bystander to one of those. Drive-by? You don't know it's coming, but it's kind of a drive-by. Shock jocks!
We'll get you.
Thing. Guys! You're way too shock jockey for me. I thought it was really funny the first couple times. Now it's just cutting right to the soul.
Can't believe you said that. Well, the kid comes off as a bit of a jerk. That's all I'm saying.
Honestly, I think most of these Make-A-Wish kids do. And I don't know if that's just the cynicism of... I don't know if that's just the cynicism of the world.
Oh, wow.
No, coming the cynicism of you, baby.
I don't like that.
I'm just saying.
Take that, Make-A-Wish kids.
No, because you know,
this kid, I'm hoping this kid's the exception. I don't know. I'm sure he's a great kid. He's 8. You know, he's having his day in the sun. He just wants nothing to do with his team. That's all.
He's just a glory hound. I mean,
he's like that kid.
8-year-olds can be glory
hound.
He's like Jerome McGinley. He doesn't like his team, so he moves.
Yeah, he's like that, you know, in youth sports. The kid in youth sport, you know, if you're playing hockey, roller hockey, just kind of dribbles the puck all by himself, goes around everybody, shoots it every time, and slaps a stick down in anger when he doesn't get a goal. Come on, guys, what are you doing?
Or when the other team scores a goal, gosh, play some defense.
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
I can't play every position out here.
Yeah. Well, that's enough for that story. That's enough feel good and, well, not feel good.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
I feel less of a person now after that. Yeah. I think I learned a lot about myself. And that hurts.
Yeah, and it wasn't all positive.
No, it wasn't.
Well, one of the things about baseball, guys, and you see these videos quite a bit, is outdoors. It's kind of a wild animal haven. Now, I believe the video, I forget how long ago that was with the, I think there were bee swarms at a Major League Stadium. They had to, like, delay a game for a substantial period because there were too many bees near the dugout.
Yeah. Seagulls are always a problem.
Seagulls are a big problem. There's obviously the, obviously, the Randy Johnson fastball that killed
raccoons.
Raccoons. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out
Skunks.
There.
Skunks.
We got raccoons.
We got raccoons.
One as big as a grizzly bear made it seem like.
That sounds awful.
It was awful. It was terrifying.
Turns out there's four of them, not just two.
Yeah, well, Wichita State getting brought back down real quick to earth after a Final Four basketball run, remembering they're a college baseball program. Now, they're going up against Kansas. They're up... Kansas ended up winning. Whatever. It's a college baseball game. We're not going to break it
Who
down.
Who cares?
For you. But needless to say, this audio clip picks up in the middle when a squirrel is on the infield with a runner on second base. You hear the yakety sacks as the squirrel makes its runs. Now this is where it starts because he stops in the middle between second and third.
He's like, there's no tree here. I think I took a wrong turn.
He's like stunned, and then he's like, all right, well maybe I'll taunt him. So he just like stares down the runner on second base, and he doesn't flinch. This squirrel doesn't flinch.
The ball's on this squirrel.
Look at him. And then he runs off as soon as second base and tries to stop him. By the way, squirrels adorable. Anybody want to question that wolf fist fight?
This is one of those squirrels that obviously has had so much human contact, he doesn't care about
doesn't
humans.
Care.
He doesn't care. He'll just look at him, whatever, do.
Yeah, he probably
get
crawls up on shoulders, hangs out.
Maybe this is the country hick side of me growing up, but anytime I see a squirrel like this that obviously has had too much interaction with humans and
you
has not been killed yet, I do. I want to kill it. More than any other squirrel in the world.
I knew it was headed down that terrible road and you went there.
Actually, there's a lot of squirrels on my college campus that I wanted to kill because, you know, you could stand right next to them and, you know, probably drop a bowling ball next to their head and they wouldn't move. And so, clearly, they've been too indoctrinated into humankind.
Mm-hmm. So he skates past the second baseman as he sticks out his cleat, makes his way to the runner on second, where the runner on second has a genius idea. I'm going to remove my helmet.
This is a genius idea.
I wouldn't have thought of it.
I wouldn't have thought anyone from that area of the United
Kansas
States could have.
Kansas and Wichita? Oh, boy. You're lucky they're even wearing pants.
Fair.
Tries to pick it up with his helmet, barely gets out of the way, runs around. Now, this is where you realize squirrels are dumb. Because he comes back, second hat misses, he runs back in a circle, and the runner on second, who, by the way, okay, now we all understand the rules of baseball. You can't run off second base, but obviously this is a bit of a situation. You know, they're all trying to get a squirrel. Now
it's a code red.
So I have a gripe here at the end of this video when I'll pot it up a little bit so you can hear it with the way the announcer responds and acts during this. What should
after
be a lighthearted moment.
After the runner on second base captures the squirrel in his helmet.
Yeah. Now he finally gets it, runs right into it. Pretty awesome move. You think it's just like flopping around there to just give up? Just go,
yeah, I don't understand. I feel like the squirrel should be able to climb out of the hat right now.
I've seen squirrels jump like 6 feet high. Like,
no,
he could just move.
Based on what I saw from the squirrel is digging it. He's like, oh yeah, I'm in the Cadillac of squirrel vehicles right now.
Okay, let's
go. All right, I love this padding. This is so soft in here.
So the runner from Wichita State, he's going to go run it off the field quick, bring it wherever so it doesn't interrupt the game. Now listen to this douche announcer.
He's bringing him off the field. Squirrel man himself.
Oh, squirrel man.
Yeah, oh, hey, you got a squirrel man.
hey,
pants wearing guy. You got cleek guy. How you doing? Okay, observation man, that's enough out of you.
Not sure if he called timeout that time. Not sure anybody cares.
Who
does care?
Only you.
Nobody
douche.
At the field even acknowledged that he stepped off of second base except for you.
Yeah. Do you think the pitcher was like, oh, guys, we can get him picked off.
Yeah,
let's get him.
There's nobody at that moment who cared. You got to realize 80% of these people were drafted in the Major League Draft in the 84th round.
They're just waiting for their chance.
Yeah, they made their $5,000 signing bonus. It will be wasted on hookers and blow, and they'll be out of baseball in 2 years.
And Radio Guy, what an idiot. He ran off the field, so I'm pretty sure he's out because he left the base path. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, well, I mean, why did you?
Just, that's, I watched that video. Come on. Oh, that's kind of cool. You know, he got a lucky draw. And then I heard that announcer, and I got so mad when I initially heard that story.
Yeah, Nader Tat's not mad that he griped about the rules. He just picked the wrong rule.
Hey, if you want to, if you're going to complain, complain correctly.
If you're going to be a rule guy, pick the right rule.
Yeah. Now we're going to skip the next story so we can get to our 2-minute breakdown of essential sports.
Okay.
Now,
while we do that, you pull up the audio.
Yes,
that other
that's
thing
what I'm
going
to do right now, and it's audio we all know and recognize, and you'll know it as soon as I open it. We'll get to it here after we talk about this story a second, but you know, the New York Yankees this year have been surprisingly good, but I think we can all agree. You look at the roster, and it's a mess.
Yeah,
I don't know
I think,
up from down on that team right now.
They are surprisingly good though. They're, I think, top of the AL East
somehow.
But I look at that roster and can't imagine how, because they remind me a lot of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that outfield. I mean,
terrible. There's
Granderson
no
on the DL, but he's brutal against lefties anyway.
I mean, there's talent on the team, but it's all like 37, 38 year old talent.
Yeah. Free agent acquisition, Kevin Youkilis was their best player on a one-year deal, and he's 35. And no, there were two other teams that wanted him, but the Yankees outbid him by about $4 million.
This is the team, based on age alone, not counting skill, that would be in the old man's church softball league.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because of how old they all are.
Even their playoff run last year, you could see that age with Eric Chavez and
yeah.
Just a brutal effort last year. Well, it's no secret that the Yankees spend money. They always have, and I'm sure they, as long as Steinbrenner is in charge of that team, they always will.
Yep.
So what's an interesting stat is, you know, payrolls in baseball, for as much as anybody wants to claim parity in some sports, you cannot claim that in baseball. When you have teams like the Florida Marlins that,
you know,
refuse to play ball.
You know what? I'm looking at this graph, though, and the Florida Marlins payroll is $46 million. I wouldn't have guessed that high.
I'm looking at who could be making that money, because their highest paid player is Ricky Nolasco, I believe. No, he is a starting pitcher.
Yeah, I don't know. Is he still on that team?
Yeah,
I feel like every player I used to know on that team is gone.
He's the tenured member of the Miami Marlins and the highest paid.
That's going to be my soundbite if you guys haven't picked up yet. I'm going to just yell out who in the background.
So, disparity in payroll, I guess, is the proper term, not parity. As you see, the Dodgers took the lead in payroll this year with their insane moves last season. They went on a splurge. Yeah, took anybody they could find from anywhere, paid them millions of dollars, said, well, okay, no big deal. $214 million, they lead baseball in payroll this year. Second place, not far behind, the Yankees at $211. And like we mentioned, looking at that roster, where is it coming? And that's only going to go up if they re-sign Robinson Cano during the season, because he will get a $200 million deal.
But you see, that's the Yankees right there. That's always been their strategy is, I don't care who we want. We'll just pay him an absurd amount of money.
Doesn't matter.
So they won't even consider going anywhere else because, oh, hey, I could play for the Yankees for $20 million. Or I could come play for the Tigers for $5 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the 20.
You're already talking about a team who, after Alex Rodriguez had sewn up the largest contract in baseball history at 10 years, 250, came off of that contract with the PED scandal still there that he had taken them. And instead of letting him hit the market or offer him what you should offer a 31 or 32-year-old shortstop / third baseman with diminishing value, a heavily reduced rate, they decided to up that contract to 10 years, 275.
Well, duh.
So just really poor decision-making mixed with aging veterans. This team is in brutal shape roster-wise. So they're at $211 million. Now, the drop-off is pretty substantial. Third place, the Philadelphia Phillies, who also, you look at that and you go, yikes, that's going to be a problem for a while. with those aging aces, if you can even say that anymore, at $158 million. Now, the reason we mentioned this story is because in the middle, there's 30 baseball teams, guys.
And the Yankees are old, and old players get hurt.
Yeah.
There's 30 baseball teams, and hurt players go to the DL.
Yeah.
Hurt players from the Yankees are paid more than half of the entire Major League Baseball.
The disabled list for the New York Yankees is currently making $95 million after they put Kevin Youkilis on, the $12 million man. After Kevin Youkilis joined, $95 million sitting on the disabled list. Now, obviously, Curtis Granderson, Mark Teixeira, Alex Rodriguez, and Derek Jeter making up the large lump sum of that. But still, that's what you get when you get mid-30s. So, yeah, you look at teams, $95 million. I mean, Alex Rodriguez and I believe Teixeira alone
make more than
the Houston Astros.
The entire team.
At $25 million, the Houston Astros bringing up the league worst in payroll. Now, I trust that will turn around. I believe the Astros were trying to sell. So whenever you sell, you cut payroll so whoever buys the team can start fresh and do whatever they want with it. Or if you're the Marlins, you do well, sell off anyway.
Yeah, you do it backwards.
Yeah, you do it the other way around. So $25 million. So the Yankees disabled is making more currently than their crosstown rival, the New York Mets, the division champion Baltimore Orioles, the NL East, I believe, won the division last year, or the contenders for this year, the Atlanta Braves. 2 years ago, World Series appearance, Arizona Diamondbacks, the miserable, and then obviously your terrible teams.
All of the teams from our favorite division. Also, well, the Brewers and Pirates are pretty quality.
Decent so far, yeah.
Although the Pirates kind of got lucky because, let's be honest, you don't have a losing season for 30 straight years.
Yeah.
Having a high payroll.
Yeah, and the only reason the Pirates are that high is because they're still paying that stupid A.J. Burnett contract.
Oh, true.
But once that, yeah. But, I mean, they have guys like Andrew McCutchen, Starling Marte, who in a couple of years, that payroll is going to be $100 million.
They're not going to be playing for the Pirates anymore.
No, exactly. Well, that's the way that all goes down. So we just wanted to quick mention that the New York Yankees still being miserable at budgeting. Especially, I believe, I don't know what the luxury tax is, but with the luxury tax is every dollar over the luxury tax, you pay an extra dollar into shared revenue.
Is there luxury tax in Major League, though?
Yes.
They don't have a cap.
It's not a cap, but it's a luxury tax. It's a similar situation to...
It's based on your revenue that you take in, and it's a huge formula, but every team's luxury tax is different. It's based on the revenue you take in. So the Yankees' luxury tax is higher than, say, the Astros'. And because the Yankees make more money, so they can spend more money.
It's a lot of the reason people hate Jeffrey Loria, because
he makes all the profits that the other
teams
make.
He just pools the money and then charges taxpayers for his miserable stadium.
Yep. Yeah, what a scumbag.
Well, we do have one more thing to get to, guys, before we get to our two-minute breakdowns of the essential sports going on at the moment, DJ. It's been a while.
Oh, no. High from the heavens.
Oh, yes.
Looking down on all of us measly fans. It's your weekly Timothy Richard Tebow statistical update, keeping you up to date with God's favorite backup quarterback.
Not anymore.
Maybe not for long.
No. And you know, when I heard this news, I immediately thought of the TRT minute. Or minutes. Usually minutes.
Oh, you know, it's hard to give just a minute when you're this heartbroken.
Well, yeah, and also a figure of his stature deserves more than just a minute.
I mean,
the Bible has a 1,000 pages.
We just talked about an 8-year-old and an MLS team for like 5.
Yeah.
TRT deserves what we give him. Well, sad news on the TRT front recently, guys. It had been a cold spell. He was inactive for a lot of the games late last season. Didn't hear much from this offseason.
You say sad. I say opportunistic.
Bright future ahead.
Yeah.
Wherever he lands.
We already discussed how demonic and defeating that toxic organization, the New York Jets, was.
He didn't belong there.
No.
He didn't belong there.
Not even he could save that abomination.
Well, sad news on the TRT. Well, like, opportunistic news on the TRT.
Yeah, you can
front.
Either look at this half full or half empty.
Well, it's the TRT minutes, so it's half full.
It is.
He was released by the New York Jets this week, guys.
Thank God.
New York Jets with an abundance of talented quarterbacks.
Couldn't make it through it.
They had 6. They have 5 now.
I hear that leading contender for the starting job is legendary quarterback David Garrard, who has been out of the NFL for 2 years.
I don't know, guys. A hard push probably going to be given by Greg McElroy.
Oh, wow.
He of famed one NFL start.
Is his girlfriend as hot as A.J. McCarron's?
Doubtful. Otherwise, I feel like we'd see him in the news.
You are right. There's not a chance he has a girlfriend that hot.
No.
Otherwise, he'd be starting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's how football works.
Yeah.
That's why Matt Stafford's starting.
That's why Sanchez started for three or four years.
Yep, that's what you get. You get rewarded. Well, so we mentioned Timothy Richard, released from the New York Football Jets. Already read a tweet today, though. Drew Rosenhaus. Miami looks like they might like TRT.
Oh, that'd be a good spot for him.
That would be a good spot for him. He could get a lot of use down there.
I'm going to champion this.
Okay.
Tebow to the Lions.
Boy, don't tempt me. Jersey's in the mail.
It's there.
Jersey's in the mail.
And honestly, as well as much as we champion TRT's values and virtues, I think he'd be a good fit.
I think he'd be a good fit a lot of places.
Yeah.
Miami would work. They are down a dynamic backfield type of guy after losing Reggie Bush to our Detroit Lions.
Oh, true.
They could use him back there in a pistol or a wildcat type of thing, if that even is in the NFL anymore. TRT could get some use down there. I still think he would have been better suited in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But that ship sailed, I believe. So we'll see. In the coming weeks, we'll update you on the travels and future of the Timothy Richard Tebow.
But I just want to give everyone a sneak peek at my fantasy football preseason rankings.
Okay.
TRT, he's number one.
He's early.
It doesn't matter where he goes, people, because he's going to play.
Yeah.
Rex Ryan, we've already established, is the devil.
Yeah.
And he wanted to keep Tebow down.
Sent here for one purpose, and that is to destroy the TRT legend.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen at any of the other 29 franchises.
One overweight foot fetish loser cannot destroy the legend that is Timothy Richard.
You don't stop the train.
That has a gross tattoo of his wife on his back wearing a Mark Sanchez jersey.
That is disgusting. I don't think we need to say anything more about Mark Sanchez. He had a media conference in front of his locker today wearing a soccer headband, like one of those real thin, like rubber band style ones.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like a girl.
Yeah, my girlfriend wears those. I was just about to say.
It was rough. It was not appealing.
He's already shown the world what he really is. No one's buying into his propaganda anymore. Mm-hmm. He's on his way out. You had your time. You converted a few, but the light of TRT shined through. It will shine through, and it will continue to shine through.
So there it is, your Timothy Richard Tebow update. First in a lot of weeks. Sadly. Hopefully we'll be hearing more on the news front for TRT in the very near future.
I think
guys.
This is going to become a weekly thing from now on because, you know, first he'll get signed, then he'll start turning some heads, then he'll win the starting job.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it's Super Bowls after Super Bowl. So.
Which he doesn't even need. He's already the Messiah.
Yeah, that's just a nice little cherry on top.
Well, it's time, everybody. It's time for the gurus to sit down in their big computer chairs and hit the information superhighway and just bring you the hard-hitting info, tips, news on what's going on in your favorite sports. If your favorite sports are NBA, NHL, or boxing.
Really, this is just a gambler's guide.
This is.
To...
Yeah.
NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and the Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that you follow... Do you follow anything other than Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah, I'm a boxing fan.
You're the one.
Yeah, it hasn't been
You're
totally
the one,
lost
Neo.
On me
yet. You're the one.
Yeah, I'm a big boxing fan. I'm a big UFC fan, MMA in general.
You can't be both. You can't be both. That's the one thing media's taught me.
If you read the internet, you cannot like both of these. Boxing's been around for a lot of years,
You're
man.
You're one or the other.
Yeah.
It's the most purest form of fighting.
Yeah, maybe I'll go to a boxing event wearing an Affliction shirt and just see the reactions I get.
Oh, my gosh. You'll get your ass kicked.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. So what we're going to do is a two-minute per person around the horn. TJ right now is going to lead the way. TJ, are you ready to break down the NBA playoffs thus far and your predictions for the upcoming rounds?
Yeah, I'm going to start in the Western Conference.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Go.
Okay, so I used to like the Oklahoma City Thunder to make it out of the West. Don't like that anymore because Westbrook went down, and Kevin Martin is going to have to shoulder a heavier load. He's too old for that, not cut out for it. Spurs are dominant. I really like them. Grizzlies and Clippers has been a really interesting series. Clippers have gotten, I think, pretty lucky so far, and yet somehow still trail 3-2. I see Memphis finishing them off in that series with that tough defense. Golden State and Denver Nuggets, that's another really entertaining series. I like the sweet shooting Steph Curry and Klay Thompson to move on. Once we get into the other parts, I just like San Antonio to roll everyone because everyone's kind of up-tempo offense. San Antonio isn't that same plotting defense-first team, and unfortunately for the Grizzlies, that's really not the style of basketball that wins anymore.
It's the big fundamental.
Yeah, so you got Tim Duncan, you got Tony Parker, Leonard running the floor. Spurs come out of the West. And in the East, all you really need to know is the Miami Heat play in the East. So there's really no discussion after that. I mean, the Bulls are upsetting the 5-4 matchup with the Nets. You know, the Celtics are making a nice little comeback against the Knicks, but I think that's going to end up falling short. Knicks are, they're not a great team, but they're the number two seed in the East.
Yeah.
So that really tells you all you need to know about the state of the East. Everyone seems to think the Indiana Pacers are the one team in the East that can upset the Miami Heat. I'm letting you know right now, Pacers fans, your team's garbage. I've watched your team. Your team plays in the Central. And even though you drudged my Pistons every single time they played, your team's not very good. They have a good defense because you want to know who's in their division? The Milwaukee Bucks, the Detroit Pistons, the Chicago Bulls, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those are four of the worst offenses in the entire league.
2 minutes is up. TJ breaking down the NBA playoffs thus far. A job well done, I'd say. I didn't hear much of it. I just felt like I watched your lips move. I don't know how much I actually learned
that was
right
good.
There. I tried. I really did. I focused. I was listening, but it... God, did it ever just sound like noises?
Yeah, you know, I didn't know what the words coming out of my mouth were until they were actually coming out.
You felt like you felt rushed, and then I think you looked at the clock, and you're like, oh, I have a minute.
Yeah, so I just started calling everyone else's team's garbage.
Yeah.
By the way, Heat over Spurs.
There it is, the finals prediction, Heat over Spurs. Now, if there's one thing we know from Nader Tot's 5 Good NHL Seconds, is he's got some things to say. Because he doesn't know the first meaning of a time limit. We'll see.
I'm going to try to keep it concise.
We'll see what you can do here. Breaking down the NHL playoffs, NHL, any storyline you want to break down right now, Nader Tot, go right ahead. 2 minutes is your floor, starting now.
The greatest playoff in all sports is happening right now. And that first night, you can't complain with it. Two games going into overtime, not including the Wings, I know. My team is looking tough. We have to man up on defense. That's our biggest thing. We can score goals. We just got to play semi-good defense. Jimmy can carry us. All of our young guys on the back blue line have to step up. Do I think the Wings can win it? I think it'll go 7 games against the Ducks, and it's a toss-up. I'm not willing to pick either side. I think it's just a real huge toss-up. Either team could win. The biggest disappointment I had is happening over in the Eastern Conference against the Penguins and the Islanders. And when I say that, I mean the Islanders were my team. I wanted them to beat Pittsburgh. I thought because they were young and they were like, yeah, first time in the playoffs for a while, we could do it. Not when you get 6 goals scored against you and your starting goalie gets a rocket shot to the face by Jerome Iginla. Islanders, you're going to get swept. I see the Penguins having no problems getting through to the Eastern Conference Finals and to the Stanley Cup Finals. No one in the East is tough. Leafs fans, come on, let's be real. You guys suck. You guys aren't going to be Boston. Habs fans could put up a fight, but they're not going to do well. On the West, though,
30 seconds.
The West is your toughest thing. I think the Wild could upset the Blackhawks, and I know the Blues are going to beat the Kings. The Sharks look like they're going to roll. It's really a toss-up. I think you'll see the Sharks in the Western Conference Finals and making it to the Stanley Cup Finals with the Penguins beating the Sharks. Go Wings. I hope they win. I don't think they will, though.
Pick that series.
The Wings are going to win in 7. Do I have more time?
Time. There is your 2 minutes. You steamed early.
You did. You were calm and relaxed.
You puttered out.
Well, you didn't really get a lot of content in the beginning. You just kind of...
You just wanted your Red Wings to win.
You wavered. You kind of rode the fence.
Yeah.
Then you sat on the fence until I prodded you to actually make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was the problem. If I picked one thing too much, I would go into that, and I'd go over the time. So I tried to stay far enough back and touch everything so I could fit it all in the 2 minutes.
I learned less than what I did when TJ spoke because I read the YouTube comments on the ticking clock sign.
I saw you reading the comments, and I started reading the comments and kind of tuned him out, and I realized everyone other than us who comes to this page is a pothead who turns this on and just like sits there and is like, whoa.
Either that or I learned a couple people use this for their dogs to go to sleep.
Really?
Yeah, I learned those two commenters said that their puppies go to sleep to this.
But you should probably scroll it to page 8 because that's where we're going to have to end it because no one cares about boxing.
Ooh,
so let's get this Floyd Mayweather garbage out of here.
Come on. I gave you your time without any insults.
I'm sorry. Yes. I'm getting it out of the way now so I don't do it when you end.
Okay. Well, after it ends, beat up's fine. I did the same with you.
Okay.
I mentioned TJ's. You can beat up boxing all you'd like.
Okay. Okay.
Every sport has its faults. Boxing probably a little bit more than the most.
Yeah. I just can't wait to hear about how many concussions all the boxers. I almost called them players. They're not players.
Definitely not.
You're definitely not a player when you hang out with Justin Bieber.
Wonder how long
Floyd.
His contract goes for.
I didn't mean that kind of player.
All right. The boxing 2 minutes starts now. Well, it's May Day, guys, and May Day means it's a Floyd Mayweather fight. Now, he's down to about one fight a year, maybe two, depending on the opponents and worthiness. Now, the opponent this weekend is going to be Robert the Ghost Guerrero. On paper, looks to be a pretty good matchup for Floyd. When you break down his tape, not going to size up very well against him. He's a southpaw, which could give Floyd a little bit of trouble going in. He's an attacker. You know, and that's what seems to get Floyd in trouble quite a bit is when guys come at him on the inside and put him back on the ropes. He's shown he can handle that, though, a lot with his last few fights, especially Miguel Cotto. I'm sure you guys watched both that fight last year.
Yeah, pay-per-viewed it.
When he went up against Cotto, and, you know, he lost a few rounds. Cotto bloodied him. He bruised him up pretty good on the inside, and that's been the MO on Mayweather. If you want to beat him, that's what you have to do. You have to beat him up on the inside. You have to be on the attack, and you have to throw punches from a wild angle.
It's a little fella.
Which is what Manny Pacquiao could have done before his head turned to gravy in his last few fights. So I really think Guerrero's not his finest opponent. This is not the ideal matchup everybody wants to see, but that matchup isn't out there. Mayweather's the king for a reason. 43 different people have gone up there. 43 have been sit down, all different styles, all with different game plans. And it's just, he's too fast and too decisive on the defensive side of boxing to be able to defeat. His hand speed is something I haven't seen. You cannot hit him flush, and that's why he's never been knocked down or knocked out. Now, in his last five fights, you can tell age has been hitting him a little bit, but he still has never been knocked down. He brought his dad back on his trainer to re-up his defense so he won't get bloodied and battered. I like Floyd in this fight. Maybe a late stoppage. Guerrero's got a good chin, only lost once. I like Floyd on the cards, 9-3. Mayweather wins.
Mic drop.
Walk out.
Oh, man. You got 25 seconds into that. I looked at the screen. It said 25 seconds. I was like, what?
When I first started feeling withdrawal, I looked at the screen, and it said 15 seconds, and I go, damn, it felt like a minute.
That happens.
How much more can you talk about this old-ass man still trying to box?
I was going
to
keep going. If I had 5 minutes, I could have kept going. I
want
to talk about...
What more could you say? He's old.
His future.
No one cares about him.
The intangibles of this fight. I could break down speed, power, defense, who has the better corner. I could have gotten into it, but I didn't want to bore you guys. You know, I wanted to keep it on the...
It's true.
I wanted to keep it on the high speed level.
TJ, I need to draw. I don't have a good card in Uno right now.
Oh, I started playing Uno while you were talking.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I respect it.
I'm in a tournament right now. I'm doing very well, so I gotta hold it down.
I gave you guys the same judgment.
You wanna know what?
Yep.
I respected your first 15 seconds. And if you could have summed up the fight in 15 seconds.
I could have.
Do it. Try it.
I mean, I get it.
Try it right now. 15 seconds. Sum
Mayweather's
it up.
Defense and speed and ability to dominate on the inside and get away from punches gives him a late decision victory over Guerrero.
I think Floyd Mayweather's going to lose because he's an old man. And it's about his time to lose. He's pompous. He hangs out with Justin Bieber. And so
that
means
about 5-6 fights now.
Well, it's time.
That was hard-hitting analysis right there.
Thank you. You know, I can provide that. We're multi-tiered here on Riding the Pine, guys.
You know, we can pretty much talk about anything. We got Timbo's NASCAR talk a while ago.
Haven't hit it since. We're on.
We've hit up Australian
withdrawal.
Cricket. We've hit up ping pong matches. Lost.
Canadian soccer or Canadian junior hockey.
Ukrainian hockey. Norwegian soccer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff. We cover all the bases.
All walks of life.
We don't judge here. You know, we said we'd give everybody 2 minutes without judgment. We did that, and then the beat-up session can start.
Absolutely.
That's fine. So stay tuned next week where I break down the results of the Mayweather fight.
I will break down probably close to the first round of the NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
TJ.
That's moving at a tortoise's pace.
It's
actually, this is the fastest.
Does anybody else realize the NHL season is 8 months long?
I didn't until you just said that.
Does that not sound absurd?
It kind of does now that you say that, but also NBA season is that long.
Just as long, too. And now I understand,
but not much.
I don't know. You get used to baseball where there's double the games played in about 2 months less time and they play back.
Really? Because I feel like baseball plays every month except for two.
No. April to October.
Simple.
Not that difficult.
I want to murder myself for baseball. I don't know why. Baseball just seems like it goes on forever. It's like the season ends and 2 weeks later it's spring training.
You mentioned day one of the opening round of the NHL playoffs. Have they played since?
Yes.
That feels like it was a week ago.
They play every night.
Yeah, different series, though. There's always an
off
day in between.
Right. I thought you meant like a game every night. Your team plays every other night, but there's a game every night.
That's my problem is the first round of the playoffs for a team could fathomably go 14 days.
It could go a really long time. And here's also what I didn't get about the NHL playoffs. You would think that they would start, because there's 8 games total,
mm-hmm.
they would start with like 4 games on the first night and then the other 4 games on the second night.
Like every other league does it.
Yes, but they break it up 3 games, and then the other 2 games on the third night. I just really don't understand why they do that.
Hey, hockey, take a look at the NCAA tournament. Half the field plays one day, the other half plays the other. They continue that all the way down.
It's really not that hard. No. Stop making it more difficult
than
it needs to be.
I think that's what bugs me a little bit. It just feels like a first round could take a long time. Like, by the end of the first round, if a series goes 7 games, you're going to need, like, a memorial reel.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's a good thing I was holding that.
Second time that's happened, Mike Brackett flew off. TJ left with nothing but a mic in his hands. Not his first time.
No.
Yes!
I forgot to cup the...
You did. Forgot to cup the bracket.
The balls. it was a blowjob joke.
you guys got it. Where's where you got
I got it.
It.
It's not...
Shock jocks!
Yeah, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it seems like hockey is just trying to be different for the sake of being different.
Yeah.
Don't be different. Just play half your games one night, then half the next night. It's really easy.
Well, they're about to ruin their one main day, too. You know, you look at it, okay?
Oh, are we talking about the outdoor games?
Football, I'll talk about
football
this.
Football has, no, save it for your punch in the face next week. You said you didn't have one.
Oh.
Save it. I'm just going to do a quick brief. I don't want you to get all riled up and lose content, okay? You look at basketball. They do Christmas Day. That's fine. You know, I'm not into it, but I understand fans that are in. That's a day. I think they play 3 games that day.
Yeah, because when I'm with my family, I really want to watch NBA basketball. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Well, either way, that's basketball's day of itself is football. Well, every Sunday, but Thanksgiving for the most part, and then the Super Bowl. Basketball, or like I already mentioned basketball. But now you look at hockey. They moved into uncharted territory. I think it was about 5 years ago where they started the Winter Classic.
Yeah.
Play it New Year's Day. Day game.
Everyone loves it.
Lovely idea. It was great. Outdoor, original 6 teams, throwback sweaters. Awesome.
Really great.
And now hockey wants to ruin it.
Oh, let me talk about this. Please.
Yeah.
Please. Scroll up to music. I can do it right
is
now.
Is it because they're going to do like a bunch of them all?
No music. No music. I'll do it right now. Snapping necks and cashing checks. Punch in the face. Okay, that's my music. That was my music. I wasn't ready to do this, but I was ready to do this. Gary Bettman. What is your problem?
What?
You little guy.
He's bringing it
hard. What is your problem? You are literally ruining the one good thing the NHL had going for it to outside fans that aren't hardcore fans. Six outdoor games? Six? Why don't you just throw more water in there and make it less important?
What?
I don't know. Water it down. Water it down. Water it down. Watering it down. Watering it down.
I'm letting you go. I'm giving you the floor.
Okay.
Gary Bettman, what an idiot. You have not made one good decision since you became the commissioner of the league. Coming from where? Oh, the NBA, because you've never played hockey before in your life. Get out. You've caused three lockouts, the most of any commissioner in any sport. Why do the owners even keep you in there? That's ridiculous. Six outdoor games? Why not? Why even have the Winter Classic now? Why not just call it outdoor game number one? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because who's going to care anymore? Because the Winter Classic is just, I guess, okay. Now you have the so-called Stadium Series, which has all the American football stadiums building rinks. I think they have one in California, too. That was the big thing, is they're going to try to do one outdoor game in California. And you have, it's not called the Heritage Classic, but there's one in Canada where it's two Canadian teams, and it's the same thing, but it's part of their outdoor game lineup. What a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You're a joke. Your life is a joke. Your commissionership in the NHL is a joke. Get out of here. Get someone that knows hockey and knows what they're doing in there. Pow! In the face.
Boom! There it is, an off the cuff, on the fly, punch in the face. But to get back to our original point, you know, it does feel like hockey, as Nader so eloquently put it, probably watering down their kind of day of national media. Now,
really,
if they wanted to do this like the NFL does with Thanksgiving, do one at noon. And one at like six. Do two in a day.
It's simple.
But six? Like you mentioned, Nader Todd, they're really diminishing the value of this and the attention they were getting for this, because it was such a novel idea that they are now just going to drive into the ground.
Yeah, why don't we just start playing all of our games outside?
Yeah.
That would draw so many fans. Yeah. Wow, just think of the ticket revenue.
Yeah, I just think that the worst idea he's ever developed is possibly playing outdoors in L.A.
Well, this is the thing. There's always been talk that they want to put the Winter Classic in L.A. or in the California market, because how iconic would that be? In the sun, you know, you're playing on ice, but you've never been able to get the logistics of it. It's never been – you can't predict the weather out there as well as you can predict it over here in the Midwest Canadian markets, so they can never keep the ice solid.
Yeah, it would be a lot of money to keep that ice frozen.
Yeah, oh, wait, they cannot figure out the logistics of putting ice – in a 90-degree climate?
Crazy, right?
Wow!
Yeah. Gary Bettman, a winning idea.
Oh, my goodness. Let's try and freeze the sun while we're at it.
Let's put two teams in Florida, one in Texas, one in Arizona, and one in Georgia again. That already lost their team the first time to Calgary, but we're going to try it again. Oh, this really makes sense. And one in North Carolina, too. I'm really making some smart decision here, guys. Well, a lockout, it'll be over soon.
That's all
he's not
got.
Even Southern.
That's offensive.
It's the go-to. It's the go-to. It happens. That's all the time we got. Oh, wow. Oh my God.
Okay.
We got a busted
definitely
mic. Nader Todd sliding off his chair. Rough news here to finish this podcast. That's all we got for Riding the Pine. Find us at facebook.com/ridingthepine. Appreciate the input there. Share it when I post this up on the Facebook. Always love to see if you share it. Always greatly appreciate it. On the Twitter at ridingthepine3. You can go on there and tell us if you think we're becoming shock jocks.
Well, we are. We already figured that out.
Clearly, you know, we are.
You can go and reaffirm that we're shock jocks, or, you know,
whatever,
call
you
us something else, other
yeah.
dirty names.
At RidingThePine3 on Twitter, and as we mentioned, Facebook.com/RidingThePine. The best avenues to reach us and to see where we're posting our new stuff. That's all we got. Until next time, you have been Riding the Pine.